Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we're able to meet like this, and we give you thanks that in the midst of this crisis, that there has been made a way for us to meet with one another, to read your word together, to listen for your voice, and to pray together. We pray for your help tonight as we gather like this. Help me, may we focus on the right things, may we pray for the right things. Give us wisdom. We give you thanks for the news today of a roadmap being published to begin to think about bringing the lockdown to a staged ending. And Lord, we do pray for our nation tonight. There will be a lot of hope and a lot of anticipation, but we know that there remains a long road ahead. And we pray that as we consider your word tonight, you would encourage us for that long road, that long haul, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're focusing in on the ascension. I wonder what you think of the ascension. It's not something that in mainline Protestantism that gets a big focus at times. We focus on the cross and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. We might have at a certain time of the year a focus on the incarnation, the coming, the first coming of Jesus, God becoming flesh and moving in to the neighborhood. But we're less good thinking about the ascension of Jesus. And yet it's a big festival in the life of the church. There is often around the world big celebrations of Ascension Day. And I as we were coming up to it, I felt it was a really important important thing that we marked in some way, as much as we're able to in the circumstances. Last week I was in a meeting. I've been in a series of meetings with the wider Anglican body that we're trying to put together in the United Kingdom. And there's two groupings really that are part of that. There's what's called the Anglican Mission in England, and then there's the other churches of which we are part. And one of the members of the Anglican Mission in England, they said in a meeting when Bishop Andy talked about Ascension Day, this member of the Anglican Mission in England said in the comments in the meeting, "I'll need to check what Ascension Day is. I'll need to Google it to find out what it is," which was a little bit worrying for an Anglican to be, a bit worrying for anybody, a Christian, to be not knowing what Ascension was all about. But it sort of shows just how sidelined or how unimportant the Ascension is for a lot of Christians. It's not something we think about. Maybe you've never thought about it very much at all. It's just one of those stories that we read about. But it is very, very important. So what I want to do is to think about it for a few minutes this evening, and hopefully you'll take away something of the importance of it. It is sometimes, Ascension Day is sometimes described like this. It's like Christmas in reverse. So you know that Christmas is about God coming down to earth, and ascension is about God returning to heaven. And I quite like that description of it, Christmas in reverse, but it doesn't mean that, well, that's it, it's the end of the story, God's no longer with us. Quite the opposite, in fact. So I've got a few points that we might pick up on, and it'd be useful if you had the Bible open in front of you in Acts chapter 1. But the ascension is all over the New Testament. You first come across it, I think, in Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it's something that we find quite a lot. And I think we don't have time now to look at all the verses where the ascension is referred to, both before the ascension actually happened, but also, for example, in Peter's sermon in the day of Pentecost that refers to the ascension of Jesus. It's so important. So, what do we learn? What do we learn from the ascension of Jesus? First thing is this: we learn that Jesus is in charge. he is the king. He's the king of glory. He's the boss. He's the one to whom the whole of creation is subject. And that's an important lesson to learn. Jesus is enthroned with the Father. It's because of the ascension that the Lamb who was slain is seated with the one on the throne and shares his worship. It's in the ascension that all authority has been given to me, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And this authority means that Stephen is confident that he's held by a higher power, even to the point of death. His final vision is of Jesus ascended. Again, following the pattern that we find in Daniel chapter 7. Now, you need to look at Daniel 7 yourself to get a sense of that. But Jesus is in charge. We live in a time when human frailty, governments don't have solutions. They're trying hard to find solutions to the situation that we find ourselves in, but it's faltering, and it's easy to be critical, partly because we've never been through anything like this, so no one quite knows how to handle it. And different governments are having different responses and different ways of doing things. So who is in charge in the midst of this? Well, we're reminded that a small virus can cripple and decimate whole cultures and whole society. We look at Jesus and we're reminded that he is in charge. He is in authority over all. And I found it quite humbling. And one of the things that has really struck me over these last 9 weeks has been drawing near to God. Lots and lots of people drawing near to God. God's people drawing near to him. And it's almost like people have realized we're not in charge. I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. It's the Lord that needs to be in charge. So maybe what will happen to the church, the body of Christ, is that we will acknowledge again, we'll get on our knees, we'll repent, and we'll realize Jesus is in charge. He needs to be placed on he is in the throne in heaven, but he needs to be on the throne of me and of the church of which we're part. So that's the first thing, Jesus is in charge. Second thing is this, Jesus is fully human. So in the incarnation, Christmas time, we remember Jesus, God became flesh, moved into the neighborhood. God entered into human existence. But in the ascension, that humanity is taken up into the presence of God. So we have a high priest, as Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, reminds us that we have a high priest who intercedes for us, who's not unable to sympathize with our challenges and our dilemmas, our questions, our frailties, our doubts, our fears. He understands what all of that is like, and he is with the Father in glory, interceding for us. So our humanity is taken up into heaven. And I think we think about heaven as being, you know, we are spiritual creatures when we get to heaven. But actually, our humanity is really important. We shouldn't deny our humanity. It's a very important spiritual thing, a spiritual aspect. Our humanity has been caught up into heaven. And when we read this passage of Jesus ascending into heaven, it's humanity being taken to glory. So it reminds us that Jesus is fully human. The schisms and this trouble that was fought over and declaring that Jesus is both fully human and fully God through the 4th and into the 5th century of this, the beginning of the church, there were huge battles over that. The ascension reminds us that this is God who is fully human being taken into glory. So it's a wonderful, I think it's a wonderful aspect of Jesus. So Jesus is in charge. Jesus is fully human. Thirdly, Jesus gives us responsibility. One of the really difficult things right now is we feel that a lot of our responsibility has disappeared. So some of us will struggle because we're not able to take our own decisions. We are being forced to, we're all in solitary confinement. I love that. I don't know if anyone saw that meme. Someone posted it today on the Facebook group that Ascension Day is all about Jesus working from home. Did you see that? Yeah, I can't hear you, so I hope you're smiling or laughing at it. But I love that, Jesus working from home. But that, in some ways, is really good, but it also is a bit frustrating because we've had some of our responsibility taken away from us. We're not able to go where we want, when we want. We can't do what we want to do, when we want to do it. That's been taken away from us. And that's why people are struggling. That's why lots of people, when the sun comes out, will wander down to Portobello Beach. Did any of you go down to Portobello Beach yesterday and enjoy the sun? Well done. Most of us might have a garden or something that we can go into. But, you know, that opportunity to take back responsibility, people are going to grasp it. Of course, they are. It's a very human thing to do. But in the ascension of Jesus, we see that he gives us responsibility. Now, what's that responsibility? It's the responsibility to make Jesus known. It marked the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's now given us the responsibility to continue his work, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not distant or indifferent, but he's delegated to us the responsibility of telling others about him and pointing to him. So in the ascension, unless Jesus has ascended, we don't get the helper to come. We don't get the helper that he promised, the Holy Spirit. So it's an essential part of Jesus's ministry that he ascends into heaven, so that we are then equipped to be the people that take responsibility and talk about him and make him known. And one of the things to pray for the church, not just for St. Thomas's, but for the church in the United Kingdom and around the world, is that we take that seriously. My prayer at the moment is that we do not return to what we were. I know some people will just want that, will want us to get back into the building and do things like we have always done them. This is a moment unlike any other. One of the things that's been talked about at the moment is that ministers often want to bring change to the life of the churches, but it's virtually impossible to do that because people moan the face off you. Who likes change? Put your hands up if you like change. Very few of us like change. But here we are, you're all doing something that 2 months ago you would have thought, if I'd said, well, we're not going to meet in the church, we'll save you the hassle, we're just going to meet online, you would have thought I was nuts. And most of you would have refused to do it and complained and been upset about it. But here we are in a state of emergency and we've got to do it. This is the only way we can meet. So we're doing it. So maybe there's a lesson in that about we live in a different time from when St. Thomas's was founded, and maybe we're just being given a little catalyst to do things differently and take our responsibility to make Jesus known seriously, but doing it in a way that is different from the way we've done it before. That's not a fully formed plan or anything at this point. It's almost like I'm trying to see how this is a God-given moment and how he might be working in it. And the last thing is this then, that we might take from the ascension, and that's that Jesus is faithful. So Jesus is in charge. Jesus is fully human. Jesus gives us responsibility, and Jesus is faithful. Jesus ascending in the clouds to heaven promised that he will return in the same way, Acts 1 verse 11. He's coming back. His return is never called the second coming in the New Testament, by the way, because it's not paired with his first coming. The incarnation, rather, is connected with the ascension. God put all things under his feet. One day his authority will be an authority in fact. He is coming again, and Jesus is faithful. And that the disciples learned that really, really quickly. Jesus had departed from them in the flesh, but he was with them. Remember that when he said, "Where two or three are gathered, I'm there in the midst." He made all those promises about his presence being with them. They found that to be true. That's what empowered the church. He is always faithful. So I hope that in the midst of everything that's happening, we are discovering that, or re discovering that, and God is at work in people, both in the church and outside the church. I know some people are really struggling. We're 9 weeks into this, and some people are finding it really hard, and are wondering about God's faithfulness. You'll have heard me say before, sometimes my role is to have faith for those who don't have much faith. But what I am discovering is that sometimes, people are watching what we are doing online. Unusual people. I had a meeting last night with a couple who've approached me to do a wedding. I'd been told that the young woman in question had become a fan of my early morning walks and talks. And she contacted me, and so I spent some time with her last night talking about their wedding. I thought, this is really fascinating, that in the midst of this, God is at work. And that's what we need to pray for, that the contacts we have. And people are sharing stuff online much more confidently than we ever were. I count myself in that. I'm posting godly stuff, Christian stuff, much more so than I would have done before all this happened, because people are lost. They're lost at an emotional level, but they're also lost at a spiritual level, and that has come into much sharper focus. So we believe that Jesus is faithful, and he displays that in the ascension. Kevin DeYoung, who's a theologian, describes the ascension like this, and with this I'll end. Because of Christ's ascension, we know that the resurrection is real, the incarnation continues, Christ's humanity lives on in heaven, the Spirit of Jesus can live in our hearts, and a flesh and blood, divine human being rules the universe. And it's amazing. How amazing is all of that? Let's pray together, and then we're going to pause, and I invite you to go and clap if you so wish, and then to come back at about 8:05, something like that. We'll continue in prayer. So let's pray together. I'm not going to unmute you all, because we all could end up praying at the same time. There's too many of us to do that. So I'm going to invite, who would like to pray? If you put your hand up, I'll let you lead us in prayer. Anyone? Don't all rush. It's too much to bear when people... Anyone? I can't see anyone putting their hands up. Bruce Gordon. Right, I'm going to unmute you, Bruce, so that you can pray. Okay. Bruce, lead us in prayer, please, brother.
All right. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you have done for our redemption. Thank you that Jesus not only died on the cross, but rose again and is now ascended into heaven, sitting at your right hand on high. We thank you so much for all that he now calls us to be and to do. And we do pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to be in us and with us, enabling us in all that you would ask of our lives. We thank you for your love. We pray for one another as we pray for David, for Ali, and the whole of our church family. We do thank you for all that has been happening in these days, people listening into the podcasts and the walks that David has been doing. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless your work in St. Thomas's. For all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.